All right.
Fancy time.
Somebody's got their cell phone next to their speaker, though.
Oh, is that me? I'll put this over.
Oh, is that the sound it makes? I don't have it, but I'll put it further away.
Yeah.
There we go. All right.
It goes, oh, you heard it.
Yeah, I hear that noise every now and again. I was wondering what it was.
It's a cell phone. Yeah, it's the cell phone looking for the tower.
Yeah.
Before I figured out what that was, for the longest time, and this was like last year, I thought that is like, I guess that's just a byproduct of a modern speaker. Sometimes it picks up something it shouldn't, you know, well, like,
like
that's technology, I guess.
Like it's, well, Whoopi Goldberg is a ghost in the next room. You're like, oh, my radio is founder.
we used to have a baby monitor in the baby's room, and the baby monitor would pick up that sound. And nobody could figure out for the life of us what it was.
Yeah.
You know what's weird about our baby monitor, Brad? And this may not mean anything to you, and it may not be funny to you guys. I don't know. But, you know, every once in a while, our baby monitor will either pick up not a cell phone conversation, but a wireless home phone conversation from somebody else's.
Oh, really?
Like from a neighbor's house. But you just get an echo of an echo of it, so it sounds like this weird ghostly voice. But what's weird about it, and this is where it's probably too specific as to not be funny, but it sounds to me – it always sounds to me like the daughter from Grey Gardens talking. Do you remember that movie? Did you guys ever –
Oh, God.
Did you ever see Grey Gardens? Where she's like, it was about two Onassis cousins that were living in this like once beautiful but now shackled mansion because of their own unfortunate mental illness. But the daughter had this sort of Cape Cod accent that always sort of freaked me out because she always sort of sounded like this. It was like half Southern, half Cape Cod. It was weird. I can't do Cape Cod. but whenever I hear this voice coming out of the baby monitor, I'm like, ah, God, Grey Gardens. Oh.
You get out of my baby's room.
Don't bring your cats in there. All right. So anyway, Webcomics Weekly. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's a non-rat hole episode of Webcomics Weekly.
Was that a cold open or what was that? That's where we'll go.
We have to mention this is the first podcast out of how many have we done so far that unfortunately Scott has not been able to attend.
That's right.
Yeah, he's still up at PAX and. Having a great old time.
Packing it up.
Enjoying Seattle to no end, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know how it is when you travel. You don't want to do podcasts.
I do indeed. So it's only the three of us from Philly, Dallas, and Los Angeles tonight. Chris, why don't you warm it up? Why don't you let the folks know who we're talking to?
All right, here we go. You're talking to me. You're talking to me, Chris Straub. I do Star Slip Crisis at starslip.com. I got your chainsaw suit at chainsawsuit.com. And I do F Chords at fchords.com. And I'm passing it along to Brad.
I'm Brad Geiger. I do Evil Incorporated at evil-comic.com. I do Fables at fables.com. That's Fables with a PH. And I do Courting Disaster at courting-disaster.com.
All right there. Good job. And I'm picking up off of Chris's technique. I got you, Sheldon, right there at sheldoncomics.com. And the second strip that I've never started, the Third Galactic Spanish Empire, it's never going to be on the web.
Yeah, I was trying to set it up like that, Dave. That's why you went last.
I know. Thank you very much.
What a
yeah,
wuss.
No. Johnny, no second strip. That's me. So I'm Mr. No Work, apparently, compared to these two workaholics. My apologies, gentlemen, for sleeping every once in a while. So I apologize.
Yeah. Well, you're the most rested,
but anyway,
so why don't you ask the first question?
Also, just a reminder, this is our second week of Indicia sponsoring Webcomics Weekly, and as a reminder from last week, they have a special deal, which is pretty awesome, actually, at indicia.com/webcomics, and there's a great starter pack for all cartoonists. We'll be mentioning more about them later on in the show. But for right now, indicia.com/webcomics. But let me ask you guys, why is it /, and not /? Because it always looks like it's angling back. Like if it starts on the right and works to the left, why isn't that a /?
No, I always read it as if the line, if we read left to right, it's like if that was a line of motion that it would be pitching to the right, like it's going to fall over to the right, so it's forward.
Oh, okay. As though the line once vertical has now fallen and is now...
It's going to fall down.
Is now a forward slash. All right. That's funny how my eye read that wrong. See, this is what happens when Korean is your first language. This is where I went wrong.
but you've made great strides, and we're very proud.
I have really... I tell you what. You give me some kimchi, and I'm ready to go. All right. So, Webcomics Weekly. I don't know where that reference came from. So, Brad, you had a good question.
I was waiting to see where that was going to go.
So, Brad, you had a good one to start off this week with. You want to dip in the old mailbag?
Actually, I thought you were going to kick off with the first
That's
one.
Right.
I have it open if you guys want it.
Go ahead.
All right. I never do these. This one's from Kevin, and he asks, have you guys ever considered tagging your comics? Like, you know, how you can tag blogs with keywords so they're easier to sort and find? Well, there's probably a way to do that with comics. I guess he's answered the question. All right, thank you, Kevin. I'm asking this because I wanted to look for one of Dave's comics, but there's pretty much no way of finding it other than going through each comic one by one. Yes, we know tagging, Kevin. There are services that you can use and install on your site that will let you tag your comics or let your readers tag your comics.
Well, wait a minute. Specifically, there's a way that you can search Sheldon, isn't there? I mean, he says that there's no way, but that's not true. I know I can search.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
I know
there's
I
actually
can search.
Well, not
I can
only
do a text search.
I think actually even better than tagging, Kevin, and I think you guys would agree with this, is being able to search for any word that you can remember in the strip or any prop
right.
or character. And so that's what we do on Sheldon. So if you go to sheldoncomics.com/, according to Chris, search, sheldoncomics.com/search, you can search for any punchline, any keyword, any character, any prop. And that is all thanks to a system that Philip developed for Dumbrella Hosting, which is also it's coangulated, cohabitating with onorobot.com. So what's the word there? Cohabitating?
Co-hosting?
Commingling? No. It's just that the data gets spread to both databases. How would you
cross-flangulated.
No. Come on, former CSI major. What is that? What's the word there? Come on. Two databases sharing the same data. What's the word there?
Dave, there's no such thing. That they can't do that. Listen to this guy. There's no
way. You know what? But this is actually a worthwhile thing to talk about in terms of letting readers tag, because I think depending on your readership, and we've talked about this before in terms of letting people help out with the site and when does that go sour? Because, Brad, you correct me if I'm wrong, you have the exact same system set up for Evil Inc., right?
I did mine. I had mine started before I went to Dumbrella Hosting. So mine is done through onorobot.com,
okay.
Which is, like you said, commingulated with with what Dumbrella does. So it's the same basic thing. And it's a wonderful way to build community involvement. I've got a handful of people that I know I can count on. Every couple of days I go and check, and I can approve what they've done. And it's kind of nice because I know that these guys are really strongly involved in what I'm doing. Plus, they're not just tagging it. They're transcribing it. In other words, they're putting in every word of every word balloon plus, like, stage directions. Lightning Lady walks to the left.
Lightning Captain Lady bazooms. it's the New York cabbie again. Lightning Lady walks in. Oh my goodness, you got to see this.
That would be great. It's not a literal translation. It's just like, oh my god, this is the most exciting part. I can't wait for this to happen.
Oh, now wow. She's
saying something. Oh, it's incredible.
I think we're getting to the denouement of the storyline, if I may use a French term here.
And then, another twist at the end. Ah, that
oh,
guy.
That
he knows, what,
and so
he knows how to tell him.
The final twist in the transcription from this guy is like, ah, oh, that Brad Geiger, he knows how to write. Oh, wow, that guy is great.
Just worthless transcription.
Actually, they never actually write that in the transcript. That's me putting it in before I approve it. But yeah, they really get involved, and it's really cool, and they put like things that they note about what's, you know, they'll say, you know, this character walked in, he was, you know, he was first introduced a while ago, and he's so-and-so's father-in-law or something.
Oh, wow.
Like that, you know. They really get involved, and it's great. It's really, I really encourage it, because obviously that's a big part of community building.
Yeah, and it goes back to that thing we talk about in the book too, about the super fans, the 10 to 20 to 100 to 200 super readers that really get into your strip. And if you give them, if you give them a you know, an inch to help out the comic strip, you'll often find that they'll go a mile on helping you out. Which, what a way to use that metaphor, right? Come on, look at that.
Well, you know, it's nice. I always think of it, because I know I'm a little bit OCD, and I always think of finding those OCD fans in your readership and kind of tapping into that, because I know some of these people do it almost as a ritual. You know, it's just something that they do every morning because they've just got that special gene in them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny about sweet super fans that are trying, but all joking aside about English as a second language, I have a Dutch Sheldon reader who was helping out with transcriptions. And, you know, the Dutch, in all seriousness, are fantastic at English. It's almost the first language right now. But this particular reader, let's just say English, not his strongest point. And some of these transcriptions, I was like, come on, buddy. It's right there in front of you. It's just a matter of typing it out.
You just have to copy it down.
Yeah, I know. But it was like
– he's putting umlauts in Arthur's name. I like how Dave went out of his way not to insult the entire Dutch people.
By what we were going to take away from this story is, oh, yeah, the Dutch are not dependable.
I tell you what. Well, Brad, when you've been hit by one wooden shoe, it's one wooden shoe too many. Let me tell you. That's. I like that for my stereotype of the Dutch, I have to go back like 6 centuries. That's like the most recent stereotype I have.
It's the easy hook.
Yeah,
there's no other way in.
I don't go that cell phones. True. I don't go, you know, their mastery of the EU business models. Anyway, never mind. But so, Chris, when you do Starslip, do you have that co-signed with Ono Robot, or do you have that?
Starslip used to be consummated with Ono Robot, but I took it down because there actually wasn't space on the page to put it. But I had the same experience with it, where readers were doing stage direction and all the dialogue and sometimes putting in little notes.
Yeah.
You know, and which was really great. And I'd like to find a home for it again, but I haven't gotten around to it.
So you haven't found a place that's copacetic for it then for what you
No, need. However, I was doing this for a while and then it lapsed, and this might be something that I could open up to my readers too. Because I'm on WordPress, and that is a blogging system. That's built for – I mean, it's exactly what this guy is saying. How can you do that blogging tag stuff for comics? Well, WordPress is blogging software, so it has tags already. And when I first converted everything over to WordPress, I was tagging my strips with the more general, like the names of the characters who are in today's strip and stuff like that. But I've lapsed. It's something that's it's the kind of thing that might be a little too much extra work for the cartoonist, but is a great thing for the readers to step up and be able to participate with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons why I went into talking about transcriptions is that, and I'd love to hear your guys' opinion on this, I actually find tagging to be ineffective for comics as a search mechanism.
That's true. I mean, I can certainly see why that would be.
Yeah, I agree, because there's like what Chris just described. How many comics does he have tagged with Vanderbeam? And that doesn't really help you narrow it down any.
Right. The idea that I remember a strip that I loved I don't remember the phrasing, but it had the word obloquy in it. And I'm not going to tag that. There's no tag for that. But if I had all the dialogue, you'd be able to search for that immediately.
Right. Yeah. And as long as it hadn't been spelt with an umlaut, you're there.
Right.
But, I mean, like, think about just in terms of something we can all relate to. Like, if you were to tag, quote-unquote, Calvin and Hobbes, it would be like, boy, tiger, outdoor. You know, like right. Deep philosophical
which I think
thought.
Enhances the experience of Calvin and Hobbes. I always found it a little too cerebral, so I like it. I like to have it broken down at that level.
I find the tiger to be too cerebral. I like to.
Hey, this is all I need. Panel 4, tiger fall down. I like it.
Give me a pratfall. Give me a tiger. I tell you what, I'm good. That's all I need. But I would love to see the tags for Starslip because it would be like Vanderbeam, Jinx, static pose, same as Tuesday, Monday, Saturday, Friday.
Jeez. Well, then I've tagged them all, and there they are.
You're like
rinse
done.
And repeat.
It's done.
Copy, paste, and repeat for 3,000 comics. That's great.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, come on. Come on. On its worst day, Starslip still looks better than Sheldon. Come on. You know.
All right, in and out. I'm over it. It's okay.
Well, having trampled on one another's feet, maybe we better move to the next question.
Yeah,
this
fine.
Is going to tear us apart.
You see what happens when Scott's not here? We start turning on each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, Scott. Instead of attacking him, yes. Come back. All right.
It's like I couldn't remember the book Lord of the Flies there, you know. We're all like, "Give me the conch. Give me the conch."
No, Piggy, no.
No, Piggy, no. And deep down we all know that Piggy is Chris. Deep down. In our heart.
And then I'm trying to be all cutting. All right, Sam and Eric.
Oh, vague reference that I barely remember.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, junior high book report.
And then my only rejoinder, Chris, is, when a body meets a body coming through the rye.
Okay.
All right.
Next question.
So Bradford, Bradley, Bradington, Bradmond, Bradendo.
Me?
Yep. I think you had the next one, yes? We're like a well-oiled machine tonight. Oh,
all right,
boy.
Guys, look, I've got the next question, too.
All right, let's hear it.
Shall I just go ahead?
Hey, wait, and just so we can – hold on, Chris, just so we can help out our octogenarian friend. Brad, you go next after Chris.
He'll be fine. He's good.
Well, I'm kidding, Brad.
We got a surprising coincidental number of this question in various phrasings. It was about shipping etiquette. And I'll read one of them. This one's from Alex. It says, Dear Webcomics Weekly, what exactly is the etiquette on shipping? How long is too long? And should you put up an expected shipping time warning for potential customers? I'm just thinking of the countless times when I've ordered something from a cartoonist only to get it months later. I mean, I love supporting artists, but the whole thing always leaves me feeling a little jilted. Alex, I apologize on behalf of Dave. He is a busy man. Actually, Dave is probably the best one as far as getting stuff out on time.
Yeah, Dave's a machine.
Thank you, Brad. That was the worst possible rejoinder I could have had. God.
Dave not quite knowing how to take that for
I know.
Some reason.
Well, you know what it is when one of us genuinely compliments the other one, we are all like sort of taken aback. We're like, you're like, we're ready with the quip, but we're not ready with the like it's almost like immediate tears when there's genuineness between us.
And Dave's really the best at that. No, you're stupid.
I mean, thank you, Chris. Oh, God. Oh, I've ruined it now. The one beautiful moment we'll ever have as friends.
So shipping.
I think the answer is as soon as possible with the emphasis on possible. I mean, there is, if we're talking about an artist edition book, for example, that's going to take a little bit more time because the artist has to do an illustration inside the book before he or she can ship it to you. So, but that's also no excuse to let that process go on for weeks and weeks on end. So the etiquette, if you're looking for a Miss Manners style etiquette answer, the answer is it should be shipped as soon as possible. There are extenuating circumstances, and then there are just really wimpy excuses. And deep down, as a cartoonist, you know the difference between the two.
Well, that's well put. That is well put.
Now put a number on that.
Well, I will actually.
Let me ask. Yeah,
I will actually go stronger than perhaps you guys on this, because I feel very strongly about this, not as an artist but as a businessman. I think it regardless of what number you pick, you have to pick a number and you have to make it explicit on the site, on the store, or the shipping or whatever. It's unfortunate, but it's not good enough that to say, hey, we're going to get it to you as soon as we can. You have to say, look, 5 to 6 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 days, a day, next day shipping. But as long as you're clear on it, then you just it's a matter of execution and sticking to it. But I really do think that you owe it to them as a business transaction to say when they can expect it.
That's true. I mean, it's not unusual when you're buying something over the web or anyplace else, unless you're in the store, obviously, for it to say, please allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery.
And you know what? Exactly. And it's also good for you as a cartoonist because structure breeds consistency. So if you know, like, all right, I told people that within a week of them buying it, they're going to get it. Well, then you're going to find the time within a week, or else you're going to be 3 weeks out and go, I didn't give them a rough time. Any time that I send it out is fine. You know, that's going to happen more often than you'd like. So when you make a date, you might actually find that you'll stick to it more than if you just said, we'll get it to you ASAP, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And I think that that's a good yardstick to measure against is if you were going to order something online, how long would you want to wait? I mean, obviously you'd want it the next day if it was possible. But typically I would start to get mad around week 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And wonder where my stuff is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and fair is fair. I mean, especially with the way we handle our business electronically, that money hit your bank account overnight or within a certain amount of hours. It's only fair that they get their merchandise with the same kind of as soon as possible consistency.
Right, right.
It's true. And I ran into kind of a mess on a personal note because when I was doing a store through Yahoo, where it was my first real serious effort at running a store, and it got out of hand really fast. And I ended up having to apologize to a lot of people. This was it fall of last year? Or I think it was a little bit earlier than that. Yeah, it was about a year ago. But it got out of hand so quick. And there is real terror in opening your inbox and wondering how many emails you're going to get saying, where's my thing?
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
So that was a stressful time. I never want to let it get there again.
Yeah. You know what? Can I go curmudgeonly on this for a minute? Because I find it to be a very important part about a business aspect of a cartoonist online.
Sure.
And so this is not directed in any way towards the three of you or any cartoonists in particular, but I find that if you are asking people to plunk down money on your business, you have got to handle it as a business, and you can't bank on the relationship, you can't bank on the fact that these are fans. What you have to do is you have to approach it with the mindset that, look, they could be spending their money on Amazon or BestBuy.com or, you know, whatever you want online, but they're choosing to spend it on you. And part of that is you have to, on some level, beat Amazon or BestBuy.com. And you know, a lot of the heavy lifting there is done by the work itself. You know, they're getting the book, which they can or cannot get somewhere else, or they're getting, in addition to that, really good customer service. And I think that's an incredibly important part of why Sheldon does as well as it does as a business, is because I try to get every order I can out the door within 5 days. And most people, especially like in Europe, if I'm shipping international priority mail in 5 days, they're getting it sometimes, if I've shipped it out within a couple of days, within a week. And they're like, oh my God, I ordered this like 6 days ago. How did it get to Europe this fast? And I'm not kidding when I tell you, that is a huge step up to making that person a repeat customer and making them an evangelist for your store and for your work with their family and friends. It's a tiny little thing, but you're actually spending money on advertising and on marketing and on PR when you treat your customers really, really well. And I'm not just saying treat them right. I'm saying treat them really, really well. And that's one of the reasons why I was able to I'm absolutely sure of it. That's one of the reasons why a comparatively small strip like Sheldon was able to let me walk away from my Mattel job, is that I really don't just try to treat people right. I try to treat them better than they would get at another online store.
Yeah.
And you know what else I find it when I'm shipping is I do the delivery confirmation thing and I email them the number as a little heads up. I send them an email saying, you know, hey, something evil your way is coming your way. Here's the delivery confirmation number. And then they can kind of track that themselves and see it, you know, literally getting closer to their door as it comes.
Yeah, no, that's a great maneuver, Brad.
And it's I mean I'm doing that by hand. It's like an extra 60 cents. It takes me a little bit of time. I got a stack of these little files that I fill out and stick it on the outside of the package. It's extra work, but it's worth it, you know.
Well, and Brad, that's another way that Indicia is going to help you out when you sign up is that one of the ways as the orders through Sheldon start to get bigger and bigger, you know, it's you those little delivery confirmations and the individual emailing that out gets really cumbersome. And Chris can probably back me up on this, is that with Indicia, I'm not kidding when I say how much that automation saves me time. Because, you know, you get an email from someone not 4 days after they order it, and they'll be like, hey, how's it coming? Is it out the door? Is it almost there? And then it's a day later, hey, how's that going? Is that package coming along? And you're like, all right, geez, Louise, come on. It's been
right, and when that email comes in initially, especially, you don't know if that guy's writing from 4 days ago and he's impatient or he's writing from 4 months ago and you blew it.
Right. And there is that 10 minutes of terror until you track down that email and find the order and all that sort of stuff. So the beauty there, Brad, with the Indicia stuff is that, and again, this is going back to why this service has been awesome for me as a small business owner, is that I'm able to not only send them a delivery confirmation immediately, like what I do basically is with Indicia, I copy their email their address into the Indicia system, and then I copy their email as well. So when I send their package to Belgium or Des Moines or Delaware, it says, okay, not only was it shipping Tuesday, but here's the tracking code where you can find it. And also I say to all my Sheldon readers, because it's an automated thing, I can say, and here's some free wallpapers that you can download as thanks for ordering from Sheldon and that sort of thing. So I can also personalize it and make it with a little value add for customers.
And so when you ship that out and you print that out on your and get it ready to take to the post office, that email gets sent out automatically through Indicia?
Yeah, and it's pretty sweet because, one email a week when you're shipping at a certain volume is manageable. But when you get to, say, Scott's volume, I don't know, or even at my volume, it gets really annoying to start answering 15, 20, 30 emails a month where it's like, hey, how's that package coming? Where's that package? Because very often by the time – and I found this to be more often the case than not, especially when somebody orders a book via media mail – they'll email on the 13th day, and I swear to God, the media mail was arriving the next day. And had they just waited, or had they just used their tracking? So that tracking, code tracking system saves you so much hassle of people emailing you saying, hey, just wondering where my package is. And they're looking on their own and not bothering you. So it's fantastic for that respect.
Yeah. That is cool.
And can I tell you how helpful it's been to be able to know whether or not I've sent something out with the mailing log rather than having to – I used to do it on paper. I printed out every order, and then if I didn't write anything on the order, then that was unfilled, and if I wrote filled on the order, that means it is filled and mailed out, and then, you know, you lose physical paper and all that stuff. I tried to do that in my inbox and organize it into folders, and that didn't work either. But since Indicia keeps track of every piece of postage you print – and the address and the name, and if it's an international order, it keeps track of what the contents of the customs form are.
Wow.
So now I know what I've mailed out and when I mailed it.
Oh, really? That I didn't know.
Yeah. And that's been really helpful to be able to – the mailing log has saved me. And in addition to that, the mailing log also keeps the delivery confirmation number associated with it.
Yeah, that is actually key. Well, you know what's funny is that I've had, not often, but just enough where I, on my own, I would have assumed that I hadn't mailed it out and would have resent a package, but that mailing log has actually saved me from sending out, like, a five-pack of books or, you know, two T-shirts or something. And a quick check on that is like, oh, well, not only did I send it, but it looks like, just based on my guesstimation, that it's probably 2 days away from arriving at your door, you know?
Yeah, I lost a lot of money when somebody says, hey, I never got my thing, And I can't prove that I sent it. I can't prove if it's late or if it's held up or, you know, what the tracking number on it is. And I just resend the goods.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, hey, I mailed it, pal. Best of luck. I'll put it back in the mail. But that, you know, that's another $25 worth of merchandise and postage.
Yeah. So, and, yes. And you know what? No physical system. Because I used to do, Chris, something that, like you used to do with, like, tracking, you know, just a little checkmark system of what I sent out. And all it takes is one time for you to lose one of those or forget to check one of those, and you go into panic mode when something goes wrong. You're like, oh, God, did I not send this? Did I? Ho, ha. And so having it automated just saves my butt more often than not with that thing. But between that and the automatic emailing to people, let them know that their package is shipped, is such a godsend. And just and I'll be honest about this, not having to deal with people. because as much as I like to say, you know, you want to support your readers, you want to be, you know, the conduit to everything they love about the world and the brand that they want access to. The simple fact is, I can't give adequate time to the tens of thousands of Sheldon readers that they would like individually. And so stuff like these automatic emails that Indicia sends out makes it seem like there's an air of the personal about it, because I'm giving them wallpapers and I'm saying thank you on a personal level for what their, you know, support for the strip means to me. But it's automated, you know, and it has just enough personal information in there as far as their tracking code, their address, their email, that it has just a touch enough of the personal, but it's most definitely automated, you know.
You're going to have to show me how to do that, Dave, because I have not yet tapped that.
Tapped that?
I mean it in the traditional sense, not in the new internet sense.
Very nice. I will show you how to do that. It's actually I could tell you now, but that's probably not appropriate for the show. I will show you when we next see each other, which is probably going to be Baltimore. So, which, by the way, Half Pixel Baltimore Comic Con October. I should mention that, right? Shouldn't we mention
you
that?
Should mention
except
that.
That Baltimore is in September.
Right! There we go! So we'll see you
next this month.
It's the weekend of September 27th. And it'll be your chance to get the whole Half Pixel gang on the East Coast for a change.
That's right. Are we doing a panel talk there? Have we talked about this?
Not sure.
So far, nothing's been scheduled, no.
Oh, okay.
Hey, ooh. Before we stray too far from Indicia, what's the URL again?
Indicia.com / as I'm learning, not /, webcomics.
So that's ENDICIA.com/webcomics.
Can I tell you, Brad, on a personal level, one of my favorite things to hear you say is .com, no matter what it's attached to. Whether you're reading a customer email or just saying evil-comic.com, because you become Larry with the traffic and weather when you do
it's
that.
A little Casey Kasem.
And now on with the countdown.
And here's my friend
come
Chris Straub.
Tempo numbers and do a long distance dedication. I just can't do it. Where's Mrs. Roberts? Okay, now I have the next mailbag question.
Right. Hey-o! Okay,
finally.
Finally, this is the one that I was going to read. Hi, guys. I'm a listener from the UK. I only recently found your podcasts, but have managed to go through the podcast archive via Scott's site to love both the humor and the insight to your creative business processes. Anyway, to the question. I'm not a webcomics guy. My interest is in writing, but as Dave has pointed out a few times, writing is a major part of any strip. I have a problem with wordiness. If two characters are together, they gasbag. If I send them to their corners, they'll just start spouting long introspection into the story instead. I understand less is more. I understand you need to kill your babies and that usually any dialogue / scene that you really love probably has no story point and so needs pruned unless it is establishing a new character or an important character emotional beat. Still, I find it hard. I know you guys have my problem to the nth level, so I would love to hear your mental or verbal tricks you have found along the way. How do you avoid this? What tips would you give for dialogue that allows it to aid dramatic / comedic tension instead of roadblocking and diffusing it? I think I'll end this wordy question on concise writing now. Hope you can help, and I hope the question helps actual webcomics people too. Signed, Michael.
I think he
seems to have it well in hand.
I know that was an under 10 word email. I don't know what the problem was there. I think by the end of it we were up to Leviticus there. I'm not quite sure. We had gotten pretty far along.
I thought that was beautiful. I really I don't know whether he did that on purpose, but that was truly beautiful.
Just how long that was.
I was gonna do a word count on it, but I forgot to do it before the podcast. So I guess we're talking about editing and specifically really when to cut and how far to cut when you cut and specifically how do you make that decision? How do you do that?
So yeah. What to cut, how far to cut. So shall we turn this over to Moyle Chris Robb real quick?
Yeah.
I think
no laughter at all from either of you on that. Oh man.
Well, that's my title, so I don't know why it was a joke.
I've got all kinds of tasteless jokes that go right along with that I can't use.
Oh, moving right along. I find myself, I'm not crazy about the way that I write dialogue because I think that I end up writing it very expositionally. So it's actually a daily exercise for me to try and cut down the amount of words I'm using. Oh my gosh, I wish I had more time to think about it because then I would try and come up with a real concrete way of pulling like whole sentences out of your dialogue that are unnecessary.
Well, Chris, in the book actually had a great suggestion that came from our buddy Paul Southworth, didn't you?
That was the one I was going to bring up. Idea that rather than like, hey Tom, hey Bob, what's up? I went to the doctor today. Oh yeah, and how did that go? Well, he told me that I have chicken pox. You've got chicken pox. That's like three panels. You don't need all that. All you need is the other guy in the first panel going, you've got chicken pox, and now we know the other guy had chicken pox, and he didn't find it out from his accountant. He must have gone to the doctor.
No. That was my tip from the book. I'm talking about Southworth's tip about using a bigger font.
Oh, about getting drunk a lot?
No. Paul, we love you. We love you, Paul. No, Paul's tip about we're like, Paul, we love you, you adorable drunk. No.
Paul, you're going to make it, all right.
You're going to do it. Paul's tip about using a bigger font size if you're automating your font.
Oh, yes.
Remember? Don't you remember that?
And then
that's a great constraint.
And there's something else that I think needs to be talked about, too, and that is that we are talking about the comics medium. And in the comics medium, you have an opportunity to show instead of tell. You know what I mean? There's so much that you can get through visually. This guy is talking about expounding on backstory and character development and exposition and so forth. There's a lot that you can do just by the way you set a scene or what you show your characters doing that can really translate a whole volume of information as you're doing it. You know what I mean? I think a lot of it comes from the show don't tell camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I will be the first to admit from a humble standpoint that I am very late to the game on that. It literally has taken me probably 12, 15 years before I really started to realize, oh, wait a minute, I can cut this entire chunk of exposition out and just show it. But I think I come from a writing background, and I think maybe people that come from an illustration background have a much better path to that, that realization.
The way I used to write, or the way I still write Star Slip, and incidentally, believe it or not, I'm actually doing Friday's Star Slip as we talk. How's that for multitasking? And now I've forgotten my point, so never mind. No, the idea was that I write Star Slip. I kind of know what the joke is for that day, or I know what needs to happen that day, but I don't have a joke. So I just kind of start to build a scenario in the first panel, and then I just kind of suss out. There's always something funny in every scenario, in every situation. Whether or not you find Star Slip funny is one thing, but that's the way that I write it. When I started writing F chords, it was completely different, and it was a lot more panels than I'm used to doing. And it's taken me, I haven't perfected it yet by any means, but I used to write just gobs of dialogue because here I thought, well, it's not four panels, it's like six or seven. I'm going to have all the room in the world. And then I would get there and I've got no room for the drawings. It's just walls of text. So that forced me to cut stuff out. That's just something that I think everybody has to learn over time about how much you can't sit down and look at a blank sheet of paper, you know, a Word document and say, all right, I know exactly how many words is going to fit into the layout that I have in my head. You just kind of have to guess.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. That's true.
And the bottom line is that if it doesn't add, it subtracts. You know, you really have to look at every sentence that you're putting, especially in a comic strip, every sentence that you're putting in there has to justify its place or else it's got to go.
I didn't mean to give you a cheesy but I always appreciate when there's a good summarizing line that makes it simpler than the long-winded explanation I was going to make. But you're right.
Just like what we're talking about.
Just like me trying to explain it here. but yeah, you're right. If it doesn't add, I mean, so often I find myself cutting at the beginning of, not even in panel one, but in any panel, the hey, or look, or you know. Like, you got to get into it from a – like, even just trimming over the course of a strip, five or six, what happened? What did I do?
Like, every Sheldon starts with an additional eight panels. It's like, hey, Arthur. Hey, Sheldon. What's up? What are you doing? Nothing. How was your weekend? It was pretty fun. Hey, what do you think about this? That doesn't matter. You know, the Olympics are coming up. And then you get into it.
9 years later.
Well, you know, I find that I do a little bit of that. Intentionally, though, and I'll tell you why. When I put my strips together into a book, I put all the strips end to end so that they have to read smoothly from one to the other. And sometimes I need that little bump at the beginning of the strip so that it can read seamlessly from the fourth panel in the preceding strip.
Right.
You know, so there's little bit of an exception. If you're going to present your work that way, because sometimes I need the first person in panel one to start out with something like anyway, or something like seriously. What I mean to say, I find I'm starting a lot of strips with just a little bit of a recap from that fourth panel. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's one of the toughest things to get, and I don't even know whether or not I'm doing it right, but I always end up feeling like. That's why I feel like Starslip has so much exposition in it because, okay, well, the strip I'm drawing right now at this minute, Zillion and the other character nobody cares about, the other tertiary character, they're running away from something and one of them saying, down this alley, maybe we can lose the mechanical hordes here. So I don't want you to have to go back and know that they're running away from robots. But then at the same time, to me, I feel like, oh, that's so much, though. Like, even now, they wouldn't – would they talk like that? Do they need to mention that? I think that they do.
Well,
I mean,
here's the question. How come you're not drawing it from the mechanical horde's point of view?
Well, the thing is that depending on how long they're running, there are only so many establishing shots. Like, I may run through all of them. The one that comes up tomorrow is they are – you see all the robots coming at them. I'm not going to do that 2 days in a row. Mm. But I do want whoever shows up on the last day to know what they're doing without necessarily having to show robots in every panel.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but you don't agree with me, huh? Do you, Geiger?
Well, both Brad I think both Brad and I are struggling with what if you do if they were bored on both days?
What would I do? I do what I always do. I just keep on keeping on. I just plug away.
Just head down and keep on drawing.
just a whistle in my lips and a smile in my heart. Dave, that's how I do it.
You know what? See what I mean about insults versus compliments? That came. The reaction was so much quicker and immediate for you and for I than like had I said like, well, the reason why Brad and I aren't commenting is because your work's so great. You would have had like a 2 minute pause of like,
there's nothing funny about. Well, thank you. Nobody likes that. We would be remiss as hosts of a podcast to engage in too much of that.
If we were, we would be remiss if we were complimentary, I think.
That's true.
Right.
That's,
if we liked each
nobody's
other.
Nobody's tuning in to hear us compliment each other.
Yeah, that's right. Brad,
that's why you go to the panels.
Brad,
isn't
you look
right, Thunder Thighs.
You look lovely. You look lovely tonight, Tater Tot. Don't worry about it.
What was that? What's Tater Tot?
You know what a tater tot is.
Yes, I know. I was raised in the Midwest. I know what a tater tot is.
Oh, no, that was from, this was when I was calling Chris Fatty the other day. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's a whole run.
That's got plenty of history.
that's got a long running gag going to it. But yeah, my favorite was when you said something tonight on the phone, Chris, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry about that pumpkin pie. And I had not even thought about it when I said it. Like, it literally escaped my lips before. I was like, wow, pumpkin pie. That came out pretty quick.
Well, it's easy to give, pet names to the ones you love, Dave.
That's right. That's right.
That's exactly how I take it.
That's right. That's how you should take it. That's right.
Anyway, about writing concisely. Let's look.
Getting back to the topic,
I think it's really just something that you have to work out over time, a good balance.
Well, and not only that, but here's something that just kind of sprang into my mind, and I'm going to throw it out there and see what you guys think of it. Once you've written, let's say you're writing a comic strip or even a comic page, but I'm going to talk in strip terms, but I think this can be translated too. Let's say you're doing a four-panel strip. Your punchline comes in panel number four. The big setup comes up in three. The question then becomes, does it help to write backwards? Now that you know what your punchline is, now that you know what your setup is, how quickly can you get to that setup writing backwards? And if you, as you're writing backwards, when you get to the point where there's just enough setup, stop, and that's your beginning.
Wow, that's interesting.
You know what I
experiment.
Mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
And this can be applied to if you're doing a long form comic too, which we don't talk about a whole lot because that's not what we do. But I think so much of what we talk about can be translated to a long form comic with just a little bit of imagination. Let's say that you're doing a page that leads to a certain point, or you're doing a chapter that leads to a certain point. It's the same kind of thing. You need you know where you're going to get. You know what that final oomph is going to be. You know what the setup just before it's going to be, that you set your reader up to put them in position to really appreciate what you're going to deliver. And then writing backwards, what's the furthest you have to get before it's just barely enough?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
you've done it.
That's no.
Yeah,
I,
that makes a lot of sense.
I like that technique, Brad. That's clever.
Yeah,
What? I'm going to try that tomorrow. How's that? Bam. Brad Geiger helping me out.
I can't wait to see it.
Brad, you should try it too.
No, you're right. You're right, because I don't think like that a lot. And I'm kind of thinking, how can this apply to me? And you're right. I got to start doing that.
I know it applies to me.
But you guys aren't going to see that until at least October 12th, because I'm done through October 11th.
Yeah, I read that, you jerk. Oh. Thank you for bringing that up.
Can I just tell you, my wife gave me probably the nicest present that a wife can give her husband if her husband is a web cartoonist.
Whoa, Brad, family-friendly clean tag. Hold on.
After that, she took the kids.
God.
She took the kids on Thursday and left for and it was Labor Day weekend. She left on a Thursday, took the kids to her mom's house or her mom and dad's place in Ohio. So she had two kids with her, a six-year-old and a two-year-old, alone in the car for a six-and-a-half-hour trip.
Wow.
Took them to Ohio, and then spent the entire Labor Day. And she said, listen, there's been a lot of stuff coming up all summer, and you know, she says to me, you've had to kind of step up and do this and do that, you know, we hadn't planned on. She goes, take that time and just do as much, get as much of a buffer on the strip as you can. She didn't return until Tuesday. She was gone from Thursday until Tuesday. I took the day off from work Thursday and had that entire time, other than going into work Monday night and Tuesday night, had the entire time to work on strips. And that's and that's literally, oh, there I just did it, didn't I? That is absolutely all I did. I just got up in the morning, worked on strips, worked on strips, worked on strips, and then took a little bit of time at the night. And you know what? I haven't been doing this. And I really, especially the first night, it really helped. I took some time to get inspired.
Oh,
do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
I do.
I've kind of been so nose to the grindstone recently, and particularly over the summer, that I forgot to take a little time to get inspired. And I would I'd turn HBO on, and I'd find a movie, and I'd find some. I finally caught up. I finally saw Superman Returns. All right, and I just took some time to watch to maybe read a book. Or I had a bunch of comics from my pull list that I had a whole stack of comics by the bedside, and I took some time every night for like an hour or so to get inspired. And I'm telling you, when you keep your battery charged like that, I didn't realize how far down my battery had gotten until I started to get it charged up again.
Yeah. Can I tell you what's the sweetest image in that whole description, Brad? Is the thought of you, the house empty, you're up in the bed, you've got the PJs on, you're sitting in bed reading reading from your DC pull list, and then like you look up and it's like 12:30 a.m. and you're like, all right, I should go to bed. And then you just kind of click the little light next to the bed and you're like, good night, Green Lantern.
Yeah.
That is so close to the way it was. I'm telling you, I took Thursday and I just did a top to bottom cleaning of the house. Because, you know, with a couple of kids around, you know, it's always a little bit messy. And I told Carolyn that's one thing, you know, we're starting the school year this week. And I said, I'm just going to give the house a really good top-to-bottom cleaning. And then we've got this little thing that burns like vanilla-scented oil. And I had the little, like, oil burner going. And I brew a little pot of peppermint tea. And I just the most, you know, stupidest existence you could ever believe. And I'm sitting there happy as a clam, you know.
It's like a Christmas carol.
That's not the stupid existence. That was actually the most masculine way to spend a weekend I've ever heard. You've got your vanilla burning in the background. You've got your tea made. And peppermint tea, was it?
Peppermint tea. Well, it's not caffeinated.
You've got your Catwoman from your pull list while your vanilla is burning. I think
that's my only saving grace. Is I was definitely reading comic books with spandex clad superheroines in it. Other than that, I don't know what anybody looking in the window would have thought.
Well, that is a far cry from how I would have spent those 3 or 4 days. Erica would have come back and I would have said, hey, you wouldn't believe what I got done. I literally have tried every Ben and Jerry's flavor while you were out. I did no comics, but...
you're like, but I have found every Easter egg in Halo 3. It's amazing.
But it was great. I was a hermit for days on end. I literally I almost said it again. I didn't come out of the house a couple of days. It just from morning until night. And I loved every minute of it.
Can I tell you though? And this is going to get back to a subject we've repeated many times though. But this is one of the reasons why at some point in our careers, we've got to all live in the same place. Because I think if I was in a studio space with you guys, yes, there would be a lot of joking around, but I really, really do think that I would double, if not triple, my output if I was around other cartoonist creators, because I would just be inspired all the time to draw more.
I think you're right, yeah. And besides, then we could have those weekend trips to the In-N-Out.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'm not promoting Los Angeles as the be-all, end-all. I just think that if at some point in our careers we can find a joint warehouse/studio space that the four of us could set up shop in, man, wouldn't that be awesome.
I'm telling you, it would be prime.
I was looking out in Pasadena the other day, Chris, actually, and granted, it's expensive as heck, but there are some great studio spaces out there.
I can believe it.
There was an old wood craftsman place, not wood craftsman house, but I mean like a crafter of wood, his studio, and like he was getting rid of it. And it had these beautiful, big, Romanesque arched wooden doors that probably each weighed like 300 pounds, and I was like, if I only had $5 million.
So you got it.
So I got it. I got it. Well,
I whipped out my credit card and I said, charge it.
I said, I am ready to commingle with this space.
I'm going to commiserate this studio.
I want to copulate. Well, no, that was the worst possible one to use. Sorry.
Nice.
But anyway, you know what? So here's another thought, and not to dwell on us for too long, but I thought this would be fun in Baltimore. So each one of us in Baltimore puts one of our strips into a hat, right? Starslip, Sheldon, PvP, Evil Inc. And then we each grab a strip out of the hat, and for a day, one day maybe, or 5 days maybe, each one of us draws another guy's strip for like 5 weekdays in a row. What do you guys think about that?
Hey, I like that. That's challenging.
I like that. I could do that.
I think that might be fun to sort of step out of our writing shoes and into somebody else's writing shoes.
I think that would be a lot of fun. And plus, I never let anybody, like, I don't like even taking guest strips.
I hate taking guest strips, but
yeah.
But I would trust you, the four of you, the three of you, the four of you. I'm including myself in that, I guess.
I would trust the four of us. We would do a good job.
We would handle it well. I think that
well, you know
fun.
What else we've got to do in Baltimore, not to throw it off, but just to throw this out there while we're there, and we said we were going to do this in Seattle, and we never did. We've got to do at least one good gang illustration that the four of us do the same illustration. You know what I mean? Like a group piece?
Right.
Oh, right. Like all in the same piece. Right. I
yeah, there's a word for that that's escaping me, but we said we were going to do that in Seattle, and we never did. We've got to do a couple, like, big group illustrations.
That is true. That'd be fun to do. Huh.
And you know what? If it was lucrative, then we should just hole up somewhere and just do a
we're like,
stack
what do you,
of them.
What do you think, guys? Dinner? Nope. We're doing 17 more gang drawings.
a self-imposed sweatshop.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Chris is like, all right, guys, I'm going down to the sauna. Oh, no, you ain't. Get back here with that pen. Daddy got a mortgage to pay. You get back in here.
Yeah.
Well, so that's Baltimore coming up on September 12th. And
12th?
Yeah, 27th. Did I say 12?
Yeah, that terrified me.
Good. So we're all looking forward to November, so please come join us out there in Baltimore.
We will see you all in 1936. That will be a lovely...
I will be there in my element finally.
Very
finally,
nice.
Some music I can listen to. And,
can I interest you on Evil Inc?
And a final shout-out and a thank you to our sponsor once again, Indicia.com.
That's right, and a special offer at indicia.com/webcomics. And once again, / is when the vertical line is falling forward, reading left to right.
Well, thank
you. There's a cute turn of phrase mnemonic for that I don't know yet.
You know that thing like how to what is it when they, you know that when those guys are always like how to make friends and influence people? They're always like say somebody's name like 7 times in a conversation. That's how I'm going to remember / is. I'm just going to keep saying it in this podcast. Is that, well, it was a vertical line, but it's falling forward. The only way I could do it.
I thought you were going to call one of us /
No, I wouldn't do that, Sweet Cheeks. I wouldn't do that.
Oh, thank you. I've been looking for that.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Webcomics Weekly. To my left from Philadelphia, Brad Geiger of evil-comics.com. From
nope, not plural.
I was gonna step in there too, but I made it
a plural. Oh, I see.
And now you cussed.
And
so.
Now and 10 minutes later, I caught on. All right, evil dash, or even hyphen, or even vertical line, or horizontal line.
Good Lord, somebody stop him!
Brad, step in.
Can I do this?
Why don't you do it, Brad?
Brad, take another bell to the wild turkey and. And carry us out.
I'm Brad Geiger from evil-comic.com. Over there in Los Angeles is my good friend Dave Kellett from sheldoncomics.com. And to my right, over in Texas, is my other very good friend, Christopher Straub. He does Starslip Crisis at starslip.com, F-Chords at, oh golly, I don't have that one memorized yet, F-Chords.com?
Yeah.
And
you got it.
And Chainsaw Suit at chainsawsuit.com.
Those are pretty easy.
And in absentia, our good friend who is having the time of his life, I'm sure, in Seattle, Scott Kurtz at pvponline.com.
And you can read over 10,000 pages of data, fun facts, cartoons, and postings of ours at halfpixel.com. So much content right now over at halfpixel.com. just miles
just
and miles of pages.
Just gobs and gobs. You will
you
never
will,
get through it all.
You will dive in and never leave that page over
you
at
know
halfpixel.com.
What, you know what? Start now because...
Make yourself a big cup of coffee and get in there because, boy, there's a lot of reading over at halfpixel.com. So
get to work, little guy. Little buckaroo.
Brew the peppermint tea. It's going to be a long
Get out your vanilla, your pink bunny slippers, and your peppermint tea, and your Green Lantern back issues, and have yourself a gentleman's evening.
I like the idea that it's called a gentleman's evening.
Well, you know what? That's because Brad is a true gentleman. Like, the rest of us would be like, I'm watching HBO, or I'm going to play some video game. Brad, peppermint tea, little vanilla-scented room.
Right,
room
and then I see, Brad, I see you settling in with the tea and your slippers, and you've got the Green Lantern book on your lap, and you're about to, you're just opening it, and immediately asleep.
Or you're like my dad. You make your tea, you start reading, and you don't drink your tea because it's too hot. You fall asleep. You wake up 2 hours later. The tea's cold. You start to microwave it, and then you repeat
the exact same thing.
Oh, I've done that.
My dad, God bless him, does that every night. Like, hop, all right, Davey, time for some tea. Then it's cold. Beep, beep, beep. Microwaves it up again. All right, nice. Oop, too hot. Falls asleep again.
Never actually drinks the cup of tea. He's been working on the same cup for the last year and a half.
The next morning, it's just yet another bag of tea sitting in cold water that's never touched, and off to where he goes. So that's also, I should mention, my dad's website, coldtea.com. You know what? That's a weird concept. What if our parents had websites? Wouldn't that be weird? Doesn't that just strike you as odd? What would our parents' websites be?
I don't even – I shudder to think.
why he never calls .com.
There ought to be a law .com.
God, I can't choke in the clutch here.
don't tip above 10% unless they really earn it. .com.
$2 is a tip, and where's the on switch to this thing? .com.
.com.
Yeah, it's is this where I registered the domain? So I just type it in here. .com.
Your mother keeps nagging me about this, so I'm doing it. .com.
Your mother.
Oh yeah, that's what my what's my mom's website would be. It would be Brad. This is your mother. .com. Because that's what she always tells me when I know her voice. I've heard it on the phone all my life. You know, and she's always got to say, Brad, this is your mother speaking.
This is your
my
mother
father
speaking.
Left me a message and. My father left me a message in college once, and he said, oh, God, you'll never believe what your mother is up to again. She's over here. She's got me pushing the couch around. I'm changing the drapes. Anyway, give me a call sometime. This is your father. And I thought, why would that last sentence be necessary?
Like it's some other guy in Bad Axe, Michigan is like, oh, Brad, your mother's got me doing all sorts of stuff. I tell you what. Anyway.
Like my mom just showed up.
Yeah, exactly. This is Paul down at Paul's Hardware in here, Bad Axe.
Anyway, give me a call back. This is the President of the United States.
Like, my mom just shows up on people's doorstep and makes them start moving their couches, you know. Oh, Brad, your mother, I'm telling you, I had to move the couch because it was facing east. And
she did give me your number, though, so I could tell you about it. Anyways.
Thank goodness for that.
Holla.
I guarantee you no one in Bad Axe ever said holla.
That is something we can all be assured of, that no one in Bad Axe has ever said that.
Webcomics Weekly.
I think that's a good one.